tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 72. And I don't have to do anything this week. One of the listeners has sent in a shitload of material, so basically I can just sit here in my arse and listen to it. This guy, Edward James Murray from Conspiracast, it's a podcast. He does at conspiracast.com. He probably wants a plug for that now, so hold on a minute. Edward James Murray from Conspiracast at conspiracast.com. That's www.conspiracast.com, spelled C-O-N-S-P-A-R-A-P-C something. I don't know. It's however way it's spelt. Write it down and then you'll see how it's spelt. I can't be going around spelling links. Unfortunately, no one has invented an audio version of the hyperlink. Maybe they have, maybe I'm just not aware of it. Maybe one of our more geeky listeners can get in touch if they have. As far as I'm aware, there isn't some sort of thing where I can underline a piece of audio and you can just click on it with your iPod and it'll take you to that website. And if you do, you'll have to have one of those fancy iPods that gets the internet, and the iPhone, I suppose. I don't have an iPhone myself. I have a normal, proper, ordinary telephone that's made by Sony. It plays music and it records things, like myself urinating in the toilet. I like to record myself on the phone now when I'm doing the urination session of the week. I don't like to risk dampening my sound recorder or getting it. Sometimes I'm in a hurry and I can't be bothered going fetching my recorder. That's the honest explanation. So I always have my telephone in my pocket, so I record myself on my telephone. And I'm probably creating the impression quite falsely that I'm phoning in the urination session, that I've somehow found myself in the toilet and I've got out my telephone and dialed another number and left a voicemail. But that would be ridiculous. That would mean I'm using my own telephone to ring myself on another number, which would mean I'd have to have at least two telephone numbers. That'd be absolutely fucking ridiculous when my telephone can just record stuff and I can upload it to the computer when I get home, or when I continue to be home, because usually I'm urinating at home. But when I get home, I suppose, to the Into Your Head studio, then I can upload it to the computer. Is that what you call it? You download. I suppose you overload it to the computer. You transfer the file from the telephone onto your computer, and then you edit it. Edit it like there's no tomorrow. You spend all day editing, making sure each peak in the urination splashes is reasonably level with each trough in the urination splashes, because you have to have your levels level. If you don't have your levels level, everything overflows. You get all sorts of audio disasters going on, and no one will listen to your podcast if you do that. Yeah, you have to do this type of thing professionally. That's what I do, and that's what Edward James Murray does as well. He's recorded some very professional material for today's show. It's a spoof of Irish radio. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Neil, in the previous episode, you went on for about 10 minutes saying how you weren't going to do Joanne's Tom O'Brien character anymore because it's too Irish and foreigners don't understand it. And now you're going to have this Edward James Murray thing doing this spoof of Irish radio, and no one's going to understand that either. I understand it. It's perfectly clear to me. And what's more, some of the accents are foreign in it, so you'll understand them because you're a foreigner. You'll understand all the foreign accents. And Edward James Murray lives abroad, so he has an abroad Irish voice now. It sounds like an Irish accent, but he's learned how to make it understandable to foreigners, so he's able to transmit his voice in such a way that almost anyone in the world can understand it, except if you're in if you're from one of those countries where they speak backwards and they speak from right to left, then you might have a bit of trouble. But that's those people in those countries are usually excellent at learning English as a second language. It's almost like they have their English as their first language plus one rather than their second language. It's like when you have if you get MTV channel, and then you get MTV plus one, and then you get MTV two, the MTV plus one is going to be higher up than the MTV two, and so those foreigners in those particular countries, their grasp of the English language, I would say, is more up to an MTV plus one level, an English plus one level, rather than an English two. It's almost their first language. It's their plus one language. It's such that it's almost like they know it almost as well as their main language, except it's an hour behind. They show all the programming 1 hour behind because it takes an hour to translate everything, but that's fine. It works out perfect. Works out a perfect translation of what they said in their own language. And you have to allow a bit of time for translation. I used to work in a job where I had to sometimes get stuff translated, and I'd send it off to the foreign embassy. Oh, not the foreign embassy, the Irish foreign... I don't know, the Irish Department of Foreign Affairs, where we handle all that stuff, and they used to translate it, and they'd say, I know what language that's in, it's German, and we'll translate it to English for you. So here goes, that bit where it says, kli, kla, klo, kla, that's actually a thing about a cat. And I'll write it down for you just so you remember it, and then I'll fax it to you. In fact, I'll get off the phone now and just translate the whole thing, and then I'll fax you the whole thing when I'm done. Because there's no point keeping you on the phone here when you could be getting on with your work. So that's what we used to do. We used to just fax over the German thing, and they'd send back an English thing. And we used to make sure to hold on to the German copy, just for reference. And then we'd try to match things up. What I used to do is get the German copy and the English copy, and photocopy them, reduce them to 50%, and then I transferred the two onto a single page so they were side by side, and then I tried to link up. I tried to figure out which words in the English one corresponded to which word in the German one, and I draw little lines between them. And so I'd have lines connecting up one word in the English part with one word in the German translation, and eventually you'd have so many lines, and you'd usually find a pattern. You'd usually find there was some sort of a code that'd be if you translate all the lines there into some sort of Morse code, so you get a little Morse code, and they used to translate the Morse code into audio, and it basically went beep 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 beep, which was tremendously interesting. I used to make master mixes out of it. I used to make dance music out of it. This is back in the 90s when everyone was on E, and everyone wanted music that went beep 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 beep. Like you could listen to all night in a nightclub and take drugs. So that was absolutely fantastic. I used to produce music for the nightclub industry in those days. And I've never looked back, except now. For the last 7 minutes and 42 seconds I've been looking back. But not really. I haven't been thinking about it. I've just been recounting the story for you. I haven't been thinking about it as I go along. So I'm not really looking back. I'm allowing you to look back.
Hello, Muddy, and welcome to the show.
Hi, yes, glad to be on.
So what's your idea about the September 11th attacks? I know you said some things about it earlier.
Well, I think that it was true. You know, I think that the official story is true. I think that they did it. That's what I think. I think that the box cutters... and the floaters, what are they called? Arabs. They did it.
Yes, I see. So, what makes you actually think along those lines? I mean, have you not thought about the other scenarios?
No, I don't think about them. No, they did it. They definitely did it. I know they did.
Okay, so, well, thank you very much for phoning in and giving your opinion.
Yeah, they did it. They did it. Okay, bye.
Yes, goodbye. And next on the line, we have Charlie from South Australia. How are you doing, Charlie?
All right, mate. Yeah, I thought that it's all false. It's not real at all. In fact, I think go down there. You might as well see a bit of trickery down over there, you know what I mean, mate? Yeah.
Okay, Harvey from South Australia, thank you very much for your call. Next on the line we have Anne. Hello, Anne.
Yes, hello, Derek. And I'd just like to say, it's not in accordance with the EU treaty and article number 917.
Okay, not in accordance with your face there either, Anne. Thank you very much for your call. Next we have Sum K Unt from China. Hello, Sum K Unt. And what do you have to say about the situation?
Well, it is obvious that Tai Ong Chai, from a point of view, Tai Chai, that one of the applied time on time. Actually, time data was not there. There was no airplanes at all.
Yes, I think I understand you. So this is very interesting. So you think that there actually wasn't any airplanes at all. Am I understanding you there, from China?
That is correct.
Wow, so how do you come across this theory? Is this something that you've researched yourself, or is this something that's commonly believed, that there actually was no airplanes at the World Trade Center? I mean, this is entirely new to me. That sounds like unbelievable. I mean, we saw them go in on the news.
Well, that's not specifically true that we saw them, only because they put a magical spell on your eyes, and only your eyes believe it, but Tianqi, your brain knows better, Tianqi?
Right, okay, this guy's obviously a fucking Fruit Loop. Something about putting a spell on your eyes and your brain, I don't know. Thank you very much, some K-Unt from China.
Ah, we are with Tianqi, I was going to say...
Yeah, we know what you were going to say, but anyway. Okay.
Now, I know what you're thinking at this point. You're thinking, that guy, Edward James Murray, sounds exactly like you, Neil. Well, no, he doesn't. That's an ignorant, racist, stereotypical attitude that you're taking. You've decided that because he has a similar accent to me, he's got an Irish accent, and you're a foreigner, so you've decided all Irish people sound the same, so that's probably the same guy. That's probably me. I'm the same guy who does Conspiracast at conspiracast.com. I come along here, and I do this into your head every week, and I try to sound as incompetent as possible, and then I go and do this... I don't do this Conspiracast. It's basically a conspiracy theory that you've got about me. You've decided that I try and pretend to be really poor and unprofessional at doing this sort of thing. And that's why I do Into Your Head, so I'll sound poor and unprofessional. So that then when I go and do Conspiracast and call myself Edward James Murray and make all these allegations about how everyone's trying to blow the world up, how politicians and aliens... and people who interfere with the water are trying to do things to the planet. When I say all that, I'm going to sound like I'm just making harmless comments. I'm going to sound harmless because I'm just that guy who does the cat stuff on Into Your Head. So if I say all that, no one's going to know us. So that's your conspiracy theory about me. And you might be right about that. I might be the guy who does Conspiracast. I have plugged him now several times, so it seems likely we have similar accents, as I say. When I'm doing Conspiracast, I pretend that I'm in Filipinia, where Edward lives. I say, I'm coming to you live from the Philippines, from my little place where I live here. I used to live in Ireland, and then before that I lived in Kuala Lumpur, and before that I lived in Australia, and before that I lived in Canada, and before that I lived at the North Pole. I've moved 8 times around the world in the last year, but I still have time to do this Conspiracast in my Irish accent. And basically, I go on Twitter all the time and talk about cake as well. That's what I do. That's what Edward does. He goes on Twitter and he talks about eating cakes. And then he goes and makes Conspiracast. And then every night he moves to another country. Every time he pops up on the internet, he's living in a different country. He lives in Iceland at the moment, I believe. I know I said a minute ago he lived in the Philippines, but he's moved. That was a minute ago. He's moved since. He's living in an ice hotel in Iceland at the moment. He's going to Russia tomorrow. He's going to go over the top of the North Pole to Russia. There's a bus every hour, by the way, from the North Pole to Russia. It's absolutely fantastic. People go down from the North Pole to Russia just to get ice. That's why the North Poleans feel an affinity to people in third world for Africa, because people in third world Africa have to get on a bus every day to go and get some drinkable water. They have to get a bus It's a bus that leaves every hour and goes to the watering hole, and they get a big bucket of water and they bring it home on top of their head. And that's what you see. When you see the people on TV, you see old African women carrying buckets of water on their head. They've just got off the bus, they've come back from the place where they get the water. And it's pretty much the same up at the North Pole. They go off on the bus to Russia every day just to get ice to put in their vodka, because they know damn well that the ice that you get from Russia is frozen vodka, because the water's, they can't freeze the water. The water's too cold to freeze. It's already frozen. If you take water that's already frozen and you go and try to freeze it, then that causes a nuclear explosion, and then you have a problem. If you go causing a nuclear explosion, that's why they live up in the North Pole, because it's nice and remote. If anything ever does go wrong with this accidental refreezing of water that's already being frozen, then at least the nuclear explosion that ensues won't have too much effect on the world, because it's in a remote area. The North Pole is very remote. It's basically one of the far-flung corners of the Earth. It's right up at the top. It's as far as you can get from anywhere, except the South Pole. The South Pole is further. The South Pole, in fact, if you go to the North Pole and then try to get from there to the South Pole, that's about as far as you can go on any trip in the world. You're going halfway around the world, except you're not going the traditional way. The traditional way of going around the world is to go along the equator, where you start at somewhere like England, and you go along the middle of Europe and along the middle of Russia and along the middle of Asia and along the top of Australia or something. I don't know where the equator goes through. It probably goes through higher up than Australia, actually, because Australia is very far down. Australia is so far down that by the time you get down to Australia, you're nearly going up the other side again. That's Australians for you. So that's basically that's how the world works. That's how all these nationalities gel together. We all pick our little corner of the globe. It's just like occupying the earth is just like getting on a bus. When you get on a bus at a bus station, some people go, "Oh, I want the back seat," and then they run for the back seat. And some people think, "Oh, I want to be up the front, just behind the driver." So they run for the front seat. And someone else goes, "Oh, I don't want to sit down at all. I want to be the weirdo who stands in the standing area when everyone else is sitting. And I want to either that or I want to stand in the luggage area so no one can get rid of their luggage, and I'll be getting in everyone's way. And I'll listen to my iPod at top volume. I'll be listening to Conspiracast and Into Your Head. And basically, I'll be a right troublemaker." So that's basically how the world works. It's just like everyone getting on a bus, except there's some people who don't buy a ticket because they've got free travel, because they've been here before. They know how things work. They know how to work the system. They milk the system for every penny it's got. And they say, I don't need a bus ticket because I have a multi-life free travel bus ticket, because I've lived 8 times now. I'm on my 9th life because I'm a cat. So I get free travel around the world, except on bank holidays and on rush hours between 8:30 and 10, because free travel tickets don't always work on rush hours. Over here, anyway, if an old person gets on a bus at 4:45 in the evening, they'll be told, "You have to pay, because if you don't pay, that's overcrowding, so you have to pay now. You can't have your free travel here." Because if you don't pay, then you've got extra money. You've got 150 1-cent coins in your handbag, and that's taking up extra weight on the bus, and that's going to prevent at least 2 people from getting on the bus. And we can't have that during rush hour when it's overcrowded. Any other time of the day is fine, but this is rush hour when everyone's rushing around, and you're going to slow us down. This is an old bus. It's 15 years old, and you're going to have all those coins in your purse that normally you'd count out to me. But if I give you free travel, then you'll be able to hold on to the coins and you'll weigh us all down, and we'll probably get a puncture in every single wheel except the one under you, because that wheel won't know what it's doing. It'll be completely confused. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, "A wheel doesn't have a mind. How can I get confused?" Well, this is all computer operated nowadays, and the computer gets confused. We don't have normal steering. We have electric power steering, and that's all controlled by a computer. When you turn the steering wheel, it sends a signal to the computer, and the computer says, "Oh, he wants to turn the wheel slightly to the right, so I'll turn the wheel slightly to the right." And then I'll send a signal back to the steering wheel and make the steering wheel feel like it's turning. And it'd be nice, like one of those arcade games where it sends, where things vibrate and everyone gets a bit of a kick out of it. And we're not in the way that they're supposed to. They're supposed to just get the thrill of feeling that they're driving a car and it's banging around, so they get the vibration in the joystick. But I don't think that's what people are thinking at all when they use that.
This is like Candy, and I'm like Candy Delaney, of course, and I'm like getting soon in your head. I'm gonna like tell you about all like my stuff and my things and the things I do and stuff, and like I like go to the mall, and oh no, it's not a mall over here, it's like a shopping center. I go there with like my friends and stuff, and we like do things, and I'm just like gonna tell you all about those kind of things that we like to do and stuff and things in the mall. I mean the shopping center. Okay, this is great. I'm really cool and stuff, so come listen to me. Woohoo! Bye-bye, guys. Candy Delaney, signing out.
So, next to the line we have, I think it's Frank, is it? Hello? Hold on. Have you got the number there? Yeah, hold on. Hold on a second. I'll just ring this guy.
Hello?
Hello, Austin from America, is it? Actually, hold on a second there, Austin. My man's ringing on the phone here. Hold on.
Hello,
yeah, how are you, man? Listen, I'm just doing a show here at the moment. Can you call back in a minute?
I just wanted to ask, do you want potatoes or salad for your dinner? I have green peas.
Yeah, no, it's okay. No, whatever. Look, I'll just get McDonald's on the way home. It's grand. Eat it yourself. You know, it's fine. Right, yeah, okay. You still leave the salmon in the oven for me then, okay?
What time
will you
be home? Do you want potatoes or
this? Yeah, grand potatoes. I'll be home later, just whatever, just stick it in the oven, sure, it'll be grand. Yeah, okay, Matt. Yeah, see you later, okay? Bye. Sorry about that. Hello, Austin, are you still there? Bollocks. I don't know. Here, can someone get him back on the line? Here, Mary, will you ring that fella again?
Fuck off with yourself. Do it yourself. I'm walking all bleeding night. I'm on my smoke break.
Right. Okay, so if anybody wants to ring in, the number is 815-816-815. And just ring in there and we'll be here. And so if there's anything else you need to know about or whatever, I'll tell you what, we'll take a commercial break.
Smooth like the ocean. Caramel cigarettes with that popcorn flavor that you just can't let go. Remember Carasig, and you can take it easy with your caramel cigarette.
Go happy go, this weekend sale now on 5.99, there's some books and whiskers, 5.499, extra motivation, come down to Harvey's, go Harvey go!
Stationary cat doesn't move very much, stationary cat. The other stationary cat likes to play with paint, brushes and pens and things that are stationary. La 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 la. Stationary cat. Two stationary cats who are stationary different ways. La 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 la. Stationary cats.
Now, I know what you're thinking at this point. You're thinking, Neil, that's a load of crap. Basically, what you've done there is you've gone on and on about the North Pole, something about putting everyone on the planet onto a bus. Now, you know damn well that when you go on a Dublin City bus, there's a little sign at the entrance that says exactly how many, well, exactly what the capacity of the bus is. It'll say something like 72 people sitting and 8 standing, and it's basically it's illegal to go above those. If the bus driver was to let everyone onto the planet onto a bus, then he'd probably be fired for breaking the law and overcrowding the bus. Well, you've completely understood me wrong there. It was a metaphor, an analogy. No one seems to understand metaphors anymore. I wasn't suggesting that you get everyone from Iceland and Australia and Russia and all those other places and put them onto a Dublin City bus. In fact, I didn't even stipulate that I was talking about a Dublin City bus. I was just talking about it. If I remember rightly, I was talking about a bus that goes from the North Pole to Russia. And that's unlikely to be a Dublin City bus. And even if I hadn't stated that, I don't live in Dublin City at the moment. I live down in the middle of Ireland, so Dublin City buses don't come down here. So obviously I would have been talking about the coach that goes from here to various other towns, and that doesn't have a, well, I suppose that's got a smaller capacity because it's not a double-decker bus. It's got a capacity of around 53 people sitting, and they're not really supposed to have anyone standing, so that would probably make the analogy even worse. But that's because you misunderstood it. You decided to think that I was talking about putting everyone on a bus. Well, I'm not. I know damn well, for a start, many of these countries that I mentioned have high-speed rail systems. They don't need buses. Japan has a high-speed rail system that goes from one end of the country to the other. It slows down at stations now for people to get on, so it's technically not high speed all the way. It has to slow down when it gets to the platform, and it slows down almost to zero. In fact, it slows down to zero so that people can get on, and it goes at zero for a couple of minutes, and then it accelerates again, and it goes faster and faster and faster until it's basically it's the same thing they do in France. That the French have a high-speed rail system, it's probably called. I can't remember what it's called. It's called something French. I think it's called the Choutley or the Coutley or the Cloutlika Souting or so, something French. I know that last one didn't sound French. It sounded like some other language. But I don't know. I don't know French. I have to make this up as I go along. I know a little French. I did French in school. We learned how to say things like La foot de la montagne et dans le garou et le gare. Now, actually, there you go, gare. That comes in useful. That gare means train station. So that might be at least one useful word I can use if I was going to talk about that train thing in French. But why would I? This is an English language podcast. I believe when I registered it in iTunes, I ticked the box that said English language podcast. I certainly didn't tick the French one. If I had sold this as a French language podcast, then you, the listener, whoever you are, probably a French person, would be deeply disappointed. You'd feel conned, because I'm not talking in French at all. In fact, this is the only reference that I've made to the French podcast in around 72 episodes. The only reference I've made to the French language. Actually, I've probably referenced it at some other stage before, but I don't think I actually said French at the time. I did something where I said spoke half in Irish and half in French, and I probably said it was Irish or something, I don't know. And in fact, let's talk in Irish now. Let's do a little bit of Into Your Head in Irish. I mean, it is my culture after all. It's my natural language of my country, and I'm very proud of it. So let's do a little bit of Into Your Head in Irish. Bienvenue into your head, Tommy Nilo Carul, August Tommy a kind, Fween, Ruddy Fween, na trainina, August na busina, August egg dull trasna na planet, egg topic, good topic co. Morgu, August Cain, Fogger, Will and Gorilla, and Douse, and Lesh and Cat. So we'll go back to English now. I don't want to alienate people, especially foreigners. I don't want to alienate foreigners who don't appreciate our language. Suffice to say that if history had gone a bit different, you'd all be speaking Irish. Everyone in the world would be speaking Irish. And I can tell you, it'll be a whole different kettle of fish then. Kettle of fish. Ketlin Iska, I believe, is the translation. It'll be a whole different Ketlin Iska Morshin. So Rodeig and Morshin. Shaf.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's programme, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com. or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.